You can see that wasn't Yah's plan. So 25 years later, I mean, you know, you can grow impatient in 25 years. You can lose focus. You can wander outside the boundaries of His Word in 25 years. But we're going to see in Scripture, man, that inside His boundaries is what really keeps it. Though it may seem rough, it may seem iffy at times, you know, we got to stay focused. No matter how long it takes, you got to take Him and trust Him at His Word. We just sang that song, Great is His Faithfulness. You don't think Abraham must have been singing that until the time of his death? Man, he trusted in Yah for 25 years and still at the age of 175, he lived on. But got to see his son. And there was asked, after 25 years of waiting, sacrifice your son to me. Oh, boy. So, boy, that's in the next section. But, man, look, today, we doctors and nurses in here, or midwives. Because, look, I couldn't wait for this section to get here. Because we finally going to deliver a baby. That'll make y'all happy. Some of y'all can smile. Look, this is happy time. This is a glorious time for Abraham and Sarah. No time to be mourning, moving. They finally, look, let me tell you, 25 years of waiting. I can't stress that. Oh, boy. So we're still in Vieira. Remember, this took place in Lake Laca. And 75, now he's 100 years old. Got circumcised at 99, now he's 100, and he's about to have this promise. But you know, we had to have this encounter last night that we listened to with Avimelech, in the Hebrew. But you can see he had this encounter, not until after he had this encounter, that right after this encounter that he separates, and what they do, they have a baby. Well, so this is exciting. So we're still in Vieira, and he appeared. I mean, you know that he's on time. He ain't slack when he gives you a promise. It's in His timing. We can't rush it. We can't, no matter what we do, we are powerless. We can't, no one in here has the power. No one in here has the power to change what Yah started. You can't change His Word. I don't care what you do. None of us has power. The Pope don't have the power to change His Word. Your priest or your king, years ago, whoever way you come from, no one has power to change His Word. He said, we sang it. His Word remains the same. It doesn't change. So, man, I better get started, because, boy, I'm getting excited already because I can't wait to have the baby. I remember that day. Later, I remember that day. When my daughter was born and my son was born, that was an exciting time. And y'all can relate to that. When you have children, look, I know you go through the process of it's rough. And, look, can you imagine Sarah at 90 years old? What a promise. 90 years old. No wonder why she laughed before the first time and y'all had to correct her. Man, you could have did this 50 years ago, she probably was saying. You know, it's all about His timing. But look, can you imagine 90 years old and you're about to have a baby? I can see Abraham excited. He's excited. And a son on top of that? Oh, I was proud when my son was born. Let me tell you. So we're going to continue our reading in chapter 21 of Bereshit. And that's where we had the birth of Isaac. This is so good. Let me tell you, this section has a lot of details and a lot of similarity we have to look at. So we definitely got to take our time. I don't know how far we're going to get, but boys, it's just great stuff. Let me get started. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1, and Yehovah visited Sarah as He had said. And Yehovah did for Sarah, let me slow down, good boy, as He had spoken. Let me tell you, that's such a timely word by Yehovah. And look, let me tell you, when He shows up, when He visited you, He means business. He ain't about playing. You know, we go to one another's house, we visit each other, we play a little bit, we laugh and we tell stories. But everybody ain't telling no story here. Everybody telling you facts. He go visit at a certain time, and we know that He was on time with that. And that word visited, and look, I'm going to tell you, we're going to learn some stuff today. This is why we're in the house. This is what you do when you come to the yeshiva. You come and you learn. Doesn't matter who does the speaking, because trust me, you can learn something. Because if you can't learn nothing from whoever's being taught, it doesn't matter. Look, I'll sit there and listen for someone else, but you're going to learn something today in His Word. Because why? What did we last week in Midrash? He said, explain the house to the house. Teach them where you can come in, or teach them where you can go out. Show them the exits. If you think you can't learn, the exit is right behind you. Go right in, you make a hard left. Well, look, quicker ways. But he can show you when to come in. He wants you to come in so we can sit here, relax, and learn. We'll see what his word says. That word visited is H6485. It's pakad. Now, it's an action word. You know when Yah comes, visit you? That's action about to happen. That won't be no boring visit, I can promise you. That word pakad, not visited, pakad is mentioned 304 times out of 269 verses. That's something that I think every now and then we should take a peek at and look at that word, because it not only describes visited, it describes other words, which I'm not going to get into because I want to really get down to the meat of the word, but I got to deliver this baby because I'm sweating to death up here. So Sarah conceived, oh boy, here we go, and bore Abraham a son in his old age, 100 years old, at the appointed time of which Elohim had spoken to him. I mean, you know, it's not just any time. Not when he wanted it. It's when appointed time. Let me know that Yah has appointed times. And we've learned that. Look, as long as we've been here, we know that he has appointed time. And today is one of them days, I can guarantee you. That word conceive is H2029. Is Hara. And it's mentioned 45 times in Scripture. But there's two other words I want to look at. I want to share with you before... I'm going to stop right here because we got to look at some stuff. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews. But one word is the word impossible. And in the Greek, and y'all got to bear with me when I say these words, the word impossible is G102, adumatos. It means without strength, impotent, powerless, weak, disabled, unable to be done, impossible. I mean, you know, without set apart spirit, it's impossible for me to be standing here. It was impossible for Sarah at 90 years old to have a baby. I don't know what the cutoff line for y'all ladies, maybe 40 at the max, without having really serious female issues, 38 to 40. You can imagine Sarah at 90? I mean, think about that just for a moment. It's impossible that would, but she could not do this alone. She was promised. That's why she left. Like, really? Yeah, Jehovah says, you're going to have a son. And you can bank on it. Another word is dumatos. It's able, is G1415, able, powerful, mighty, strong, mighty in wealth, influent, strong in soul, to bear calamities and trials with fortitude and patience, strong in Christian value, to be able to do something mightily, exceeding in something, having power for something. This is very important. We're going to go to Hebrews because we got to look at these two definitions. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to see how all that fits in the scripture. Because look, Yah, back in Lake Lachai, he told him, leave your house, leave your people, go to the place I'm going to show you. And for 25 years, let me tell you, this took faith. We all had to have it. We're going to see in the scripture that it took faith for Abraham to do what wherever he journeyed, all these spots, these key spots where he stopped. And we looked at him carefully. You're going to see it took faith for him to do what he done. That's why he's written about. That's why Moshe wrote about his life. And even in here, in the Brit Hadishah, we still learn about Abraham. I don't want to say Abraham, but Abraham. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And belief is the substance of what is expected, the proof of what is not seen. This is what faith is. Faith is believing in something that God said. Look, if he's giving you a word, you have to bank on that. It doesn't matter how long it takes. But look, you can hold him true to his word because why? He's faithful and true. That's what the scripture says about him. Even Yeshua said that. You are true. Your word is true. The proof of what is not seen. Look, it takes faith to believe that a God, a El, created this world, and here we are, centuries later, we're here today, sitting in that world. Look, it takes faith to believe that. Now, NASA has a different approach on that. You can believe two things in life. What you want? You can believe what's true or what's false. That's just the bottom line. For by this the elders obtain witness. Now, we got a couple of elders in here. They can testify. They've been here a lot of years before I was here. And they have seen the faithfulness of Yehovah time and time again. And they've been waiting patiently. Just as you see Abraham's been waiting patiently for all these years for a son. By belief, we understand that the ages were prepared by the word of Elohim, so that what is seen was not made of what is visible. I wasn't there. That's one of the questions you asked Joe. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Tell me. Who was my counsel? He asked these questions in Scripture. Man, what's such... This is so powerful. So it takes faith to believe that he did that. And who are we? We testify that belief, that faith. We stand upon his word, because look, we have nothing else. I can tell you, you can bank. That's one thing you can bank on is his word. It says, by belief, Herbal offered to Elohim a greater sacrifice offering that of Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Elohim witnessing of his gifts, and though it having died, he still speaks. Let me know, every time we read the Torah portion, the blood of Abel still speaks. So we see that it was one of the first murders, if the first murder ever happened after creation. We've read that. We covered all these. We're just going back over them because we're going to get down to the meat of it, what I'm trying to get to. But we see, look, he offered a greater gift. Why? Because he obeyed. He did it, like we said last week in Midrash. He brought the salt in his offering. What Yeshua said, if you lack in salt, or if you have no salt, you are no good for what? Nothing. You have to have the salt. Without it, he said, you throw it on the street, and nothing to be good than to trample under the foot of men. You can't afford to lose salt. Cain, we know, we've seen in Scripture that he had an issue. And there's one of the definitions we're going to point out here a little bit. It talks about his produce. So we know that it's not what he brought, it's the attitude in which he brought it in. So it's no different. When you come here, it's the attitude that you show toward him when you give him your praise. How do you, when you come to the house, you should be happy. I know I am. Look, we got a baby today on Shabbat. Then next week we're going to circumcise him. But we're going to read about him today. But look, 8 days later, that's what was required. 8 days, what God said. Not what Abraham said. So, I got to keep y'all with me now. I don't want to lose y'all. He still speaks. By belief, Hanok was translated so as not to see death, and was not found because Elohim had translated him. For before his translation, he obtained witness that he pleased Elohim. Now, where did y'all take him? I don't know. But I can tell you where he didn't take him. If not, we're going to make Yeshua a liar. And then we know that's not possible. But if y'all don't want you to be found, ain't nobody going to find you. I can tell you that. Ain't nobody don't know where Moshe is buried at. One thing. Then we see in the Brit Hadishah when Stephen, he said the Spirit took him away. He's baptized. We don't know where he went. When he witnessed with the Ethiopian. Gone. And we see parallels in Scripture. We can find that. What happened with the trouble of Israel? What he told him, he said, man, you're the trouble of Israel. He said, go tell Ahab, I'm coming. Oh, no, he said, man, if I try to tell you, the Spirit of Yah is going to take you away and we ain't going to be able to find you. So you can see the tie-ins here. So I'm not going to get caught up there. It's just something for you to look at, a little lanyard. But without belief, it is impossible. Is what? Huh? Impossible. I do matos. It's impossible to please him. Why? Because you're disabled. You're weak. You're powerless. Without set apart spirit, this is what you are. I'm sorry. That's what the word says. Please, look, don't kill the messenger. This is what it says. It is impossible to please him without your belief in him. Because why? He's done all these things for you. And then you're not going to say that he's not true? You're going to say he's false? He said, Yehovah is true and every man's a liar. For he who comes to Elohim has to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Now that's qualifications right there. I woke up to this early this morning. I couldn't sleep on this because this is very powerful right here. How do you know he's a rewarder? We sang that the very first song. He's working for me. But don't you know you're working for him too? If not, how are you going to be rewarded? It's quite obvious. If he's working for you, then you got to pay him. We're going to see that in the word right here, in the definition. But if we're working for him, he has to pay us also. That word rewarder is G3406. Mistrapotes. Y'all can go look it for yourselves. These Greek words are challenging, I can promise you. Even though I've listened to them over and over, they're tough. That word rewarder means one who pays. He is a rewarder. That's what you're here for. He's a rewarder. It has a root word, G3409, mistrapo. It says to let out for hire. He hired you. So if you're working with him, don't you think he's going to pay for you? He's going to pay you with your reward? Maybe you're not seeing that. Sarah waited 25 years for her reward, though, when she was a little younger. She's 10 years younger, so 35 years for Sarah. She got paid. A son that she couldn't have in her younger years. For whatever reason, why? I don't know. That's Elohim's business. But we know that 90 years old, she has a son. She got paid what she's been waiting for, her and Avram. It goes to another root word, G591. Abtutomi. Yo, look it up. It means a debt, wages, tribute, taxes, produce due. When I thought about that produce due, because who brought the produce? Cain. But he didn't bring it with the right heart, the right attitude. Things promised under an oath. That's the last definition. Don't you think Avram was promised some things under an oath? You better believe it. He was promised. When Yehovah walked through the pieces, he made that covenant with Avram. If you do this, and I'm going to do this. But you can see rewarder, there's great rewards in following him. He might not be when you want it, but he's always on time. We might think he's late, but he's never late. But we have to earnestly seek him. That's what it says. It's not seek him sometime. You have to have a set apart time in your schedule. I don't care how busy your life is. We need to find that time to diligently seek him. My best time is early in the morning. Because why? Because you sacrifice. Look, nobody likes to really wake up early in the morning. Let's not kid ourselves. That's time we get, this morning was a challenge this morning. Our little dog comes in the house, up the room, checking on us. I don't know what time it was. I didn't open my eyes. But 5:30 coming in, that's a warning. Look, I need to go outside. But look, I don't want to get up at 5:30. Then the flesh, when I come back and say, what I want to do? I jump right back into bed. When I'm in bed and I'm tossing and turning, I'm thinking about this reward. Man, what's going to be your payment when he comes? We're going to get to that. I'm glad y'all asked. By belief, Noah, having been warned of what was yet unseen, the rain's coming. We've been saying it. The rain's coming. Build a boat. Really? Really? Yeah, why? You don't see that coming from Noah? Okay. I'm DJ. Okay, what's the dimensions? You know y'all gave it to him. Having feared, prepared an ark to save his house. What did he try to warn Lot? To save his house. Through which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to belief. Heir of what righteousness? The righteousness that we follow with Abraham right now. Because he is the righteous one from the east that we talked about, Avram. That's why we're on this journey with him. So I said, he didn't go back to Lake Lakat. We can start this all over again. Can't wait for next year. By belief, Avraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he was about to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, man, look, in the boat business, I go to play sometimes, I don't know where I'm going. Look, I got to get direction. Look, y'all tell me, y'all going this area? Okay. But it's a scary feeling because you don't want to hit nothing. You don't know what's underneath the water. You don't want to break down. So I can relate to this in a way. I know one thing. At nighttime, you watch the lights. You don't lose track of your bearings. But Abraham was told, leave your people, leave your house, leave your people. Go to the place of land I'm going to show you. Don't even know where you're going. Yeah, that takes faith. For you to just pack up and leave. Ugh. You can learn this. This section of the reading is so much to learn from it. Not knowing where he was going. By belief, he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Yaakov, and heirs with him of the same promise. Now, don't get caught up in translation right here. Because you know he ain't dwelling with Isaac and Yaakov. We ain't delivered a baby yet. So how is he dwelling? Because his daddy was a tent dweller. His son was a tent dweller. And now his grandson, Yaakov, you remember, Rivka had two sons. One was in the field. The other one was where? Boy, see? You're smarter than what I'm thinking in here today. You're learning. We're learning. After all these years, we're learning. See? Tent dwellers. This is what the scripture is saying. Not deal with all three together. So they're just... Take your time, and you got to be careful how you read, and you can see, make the connections. Amen? For he was looking for the city having foundation whose builder and maker is Elohim. Well, we know that there's a day coming in Revelation chapter 21. There's a city that's coming down that Abraham's been waiting for. The scripture says he died not receiving the promise. But how wonderful it is in our lifetime. You could possibly be alive when that day comes. Man, what a day that's going to be. For he was looking for the city having foundations whose builder and maker is Elohim. By belief also, Sarah herself was enabled to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the normal age, because she deemed him trustworthy who had promised. What a promise. Some of y'all can't imagine having a baby at 90. That's unheard of. And we're going to see that in the scripture, something I thought that was a little, why the comment that she made. But you got to understand that able to conceive seed. Belief, we know that's faith, is G4102. It's the word pistis. Pistis means the character of the one who can be relied on. How many know Sarah had to rely on what Yehovah said? Even though she laughed in her heart, a few pages ago, she had to trust what he said was true. This is what faith is. This is what faith will do for you. You have to trust in him. No matter how it looks, no matter the storms may come and the winds may blow, what are we saying? Remain steadfast. Man, we just sang the song. If not, throw the song out the window. Let's not sing it no more. If we're going to take that approach. But we have to hold on to his word no matter how tough it gets. Conceive. It's G2602, Katabole. What's interesting about this is it's mentioned 11 times. Only one time out of the 11 definitions is mentioned above of conception. I thought that was odd. But the other 10 times, it talked about a foundation being laid. And I was like, well, how's that fit in the scripture? Well, you got to go back to Bereshit 3:15 when he talks about when he tells Eve, it's between your seed and his seed. First time we mentioned Messiah back then in Bereshit 3:15. That was the start of the foundation that was laid. And then, well, of course, we had to have two people by faith believing in that foundation that was laid to what? here we are today, about to have a baby. It started with Avram. But you can go back, because you know on that foundation, we have to start where? With a chief cornerstone, laid in the foundation. And we all know, I assure you, hope you all know who the chief cornerstone is. So it started with that seed right there. And so Sarah herself was able to conceive seed because she was past, way past the way of women. We all know that. That is what? Adumatos. Impossible. Yeah, after today, you won't forget that. Go back and look at that. It is impossible for her to have a kid at the age of 90. No less the stress of even going through it. You know, because we see even young women, we see Rachel when we get to the life of Yaakov, she died. Hard labor, she died. Being a young woman. She wasn't 90. But here we are, we have Sarah, 90 years old, about to deliver a baby. Her first son. Wow. And so from one, and him as good as dead, was born as numerous as the stars of the heaven, as countless as the sands which is by the seashore. This is where we come in. We're the sands by the seashore. The way descendants of Abraham. I don't know how many great uncles you can call him, but or Piran, whatever name you want to get. But this is where it starts. Well, how important that was. In belief, all these died, not having received the promises, but seeing them from a distance. Wow, can you remember that? I think in chapter 15, when he visited with Abraham, and he spoke with Abraham, seeing them from a distance, welcomed and embraced them, and confessed that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. Now, we know about aliens and strangers on the earth, because this is the scripture defined us as. We were a nation that once walked like that, but now we've been brought near. Let's go now. Let me go back over here. That was just foundational work. Back in 21. So Sarah conceived. Finally, we got that baby. And bore Abraham a son in his old age at the appointed time of which Elohim had spoken to him. Now, like I said, appointed time, we know what this is. Appointed time is H4150. It's Moed. One of his appointed time is today. Since why? Because it was laid in the foundation in the beginning. It's called Shabbat. I don't care who tries to change it. I don't care who says what, whatever definition you can find. This has been set in stone. And we know that in scripture, we go to the Brit HaShah, we see as it was his custom on the Sabbath to be in the synagogue. Well, let's look at something with Ezekiel. Boy, I tell you what, Ezekiel's been ministering a lot to me. Ezekiel chapter 20. I don't want to tell you from my word. Let's see what the word says. Chapter 20 and verse 18. And I said to the children in the wilderness, do not walk in the laws of your fathers, nor observe their rulings, nor defile yourself with their idols. Now I have a father, a dad. I don't want to observe his rulings. And I sure don't defile myself with his idols or walk after his laws, because they're contrary to what the word says. So this is what he's saying. Even though we got forefathers, we got dad out there, if they're not walking in the confound, in the boundaries, you don't follow after that. Hey, it might seem you're going against your parents, or you might, he said, your mama's outside, Yeshua, wanted to speak to you. He said, who's my mother? And who's my brothers? Those who are doing the will of my father. Those are my mother and my sisters and my brothers. That's what I see here today. So just go take your time and go look at his words carefully. That's all we have to do. I am Yehovah your Elohim. Walk in my laws. Not in the laws of your forefathers. Because what happened? They got in some serious trouble. He says, walk in my laws and guard my right rulings and do them. You're working for him. He says, and set apart my Sabbath. Set apart. I mean, it's remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Holy is set apart. And it shall be a sign between me and you to know that I am Yehovah, your Elohim. Hey, I want this day to be a sign unto him. He sees. Why? Because he's the one that's paying. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my laws and my right rulings. They did not guard to do them, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Don't you want to live by his rules, his laws? After all, they are for our good. This is what we see. This is what we profess. So we can't change. You can't change what he's laid since the beginning. You can get into arguments with that. People, we Christians, we go to church on Sunday. You can go ahead and do whatever you want. When you look at the calendar, Sunday is the very first day of the week. He said the seventh day. Now, either you can't count 1 to 7, or you're just plain dumb. That's just as simple as that. They profane my Sabbaths, so I resolved to pour out my wrath on them to complete my distress against them in the wilderness. Now, we know we're not talking about this time, but I can tell you, we're in the wilderness today. And if you're not guarding his Sabbath when the time comes, you are in a bind. This is a warning. This is what he says. So I wanted to be a sign. I wanted to be, when the wheat and the tares is growing together, I want him to distinguish between me and them. Because sometimes we look like the tare when you're really the wheat. But I held back my hand and acted for my name's sake, Hain, not to profane it before the eyes of the nation, before whose eyes I had brought them out. Also, I lifted my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness to scatter them among the nation and disperse them throughout the land, because they had not done my right rulings, and they rejected my laws, and they profaned my Sabbaths, and in their eyes were on the fathers' idols. You know, this is what happened. Because we're going to read it, but this is all talking about what happened with Moshe and them. But we can relate to this in our time, because we're here today. Moshe still speaks. That's why we're still reading his word. That's what Yeshua told us to do. So if you ain't doing what he told you to do, then what are you doing? Amen. That's right. What else are we here for? There's the exits. Because I'm going to explain to you where the house is at. He says, show them where the exits is at. There you go. Why else were we here? We might as well just pack up and go home. And I gave them up to laws that were not good and right rulings by which they would not live. And I defiled them by their own gifts and passed all their firstborn through the fire so that I might shun them, so that they know that I am Yehovah. Oh boy. Let's look at Exodus 31. And I know sometimes it sounds harsh, but this is what the word is. It's a harsh world out there. All thing we're doing, we're just repeating every week what he says for us to do. That way we get it right. Because that's what we want. Because why? What is the ultimate reward we're looking for? Eternal life. So you think eternal life is going to come as just something free? And we're going to waltz right into the kingdom? I think not. You're going to go through some stuff. Because why? It is impossible for you to just waltz yourself into the kingdom. Verse 12. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, and you speak to the children of Israel, saying, my Sabbaths you are to guard by all means. By all means. You know what that means? By all means. What he said, by all means you guard them. Not just whenever you feel like it. By all means you guard them. Even when today is over, by all means you still guard it. Because next week Sabbath is coming again. You know, some of y'all might have y'all secret stash in y'all houses. I know by my in-laws there's a little black box. And in that little black box, I know there's something special in it. They guard it by all means. Because they still hadn't told me where it's at. So this is what I mean by all means. You guard it. Or if you go by Papa Stoppa's house, you got that safe over there. Now, I can assure you, ain't getting the combination. So why? Because by all means, he guards it. That's what he's telling you. Hey, I got to get my shot when I can. For it is what? A sign. This is what he said. This is a sign. How many know we're going to need that? Between me and you. It's your sign between you and... It's your only sign that you have between you and the Father. When you guard his Shabbat. Throughout your generations. It means your children, your children's children. That's why Abraham was dwelling in tents with Yitzhak and Yaakov. See? Generation to generation. To know that I, Yehovah, am setting you apart. Don't you look different when you come here on Shabbat? My cousin, I was on the phone today with family members. They said, where are you going? I said, I'm getting ready for church. Now, they didn't ask me why. They don't dare ask me why anymore. Because they already know. But when you see me, look, if I'm calling, you know what I'm doing today. You know. It don't matter what the world says. You know that this is the right day. Now, you can pull yourself out the harness from the dominant one like we learned. That's fine. He's still plowing. And you, verse 14, and you shall guard the Sabbath. Why do you keep telling us to guard this? Because you can lose it. You can lose your way. There's times when, look, in the fog at night or whatever. Look, in the fog, it don't have to be at nighttime. It can be daytime in the fog. And without a radar and GPS, you can lose your way. So this is your radar. This is your GPS, all built into one. That's why you have to guard it. It's most precious to us. Look, if you know, what else do you have? Money, all the money in that safe by Papa Stoppa can't get you into the kingdom. Or in that black box by my in-laws, it can't get you in there. Look, we have to guard his word because this is all you have. When all else fails, when heaven and earth passes away, what does it say? My word will remain forever. Hallelujah. I mean, I didn't say that. I'm just telling you what he says. It is set apart to you. Everyone who profanes it shall certainly be put to death. Now, I can pack up my Bible. I can go home. You know, I can go eat lunch now. That's all I needed to know. Because if you profane it, this is what he said. You'll be put to death. Point blank. There's no reason with God. There's no bargaining with him. I'm telling you what he says. For anyone who does work on it, that being shall be cut off from among his people. Oh boy. Aren't you so glad he never changes? His word remains the same. Come next week, if he's preaching, whoever, Brother Rob or me or Chad, it doesn't matter, this is going to stay the same. It's not going to change. Whether you like it or you know, he said, well, man, that's kind of harsh. Oh, well. When you stand before him or when you're humbling and kneeling yourself before, because every knee is going to kneel before him, you tell him this word was harsh. Because we're all going to face our creator, our maker one day. What else do you have? You better hope one thing you was guarding his Shabbat. Because you're going to need that sign that day. Because why? In that day, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're going to wish they had guarded his Sabbath. Amen. I better get out of here before I start preaching. Let's go back to the text. Oh, boy. And Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. Oh, we finally got our baby, Isaac. Well, we're going to see, and this is not the first time that Abraham gave people names. And I'm going to give you all the way you can go back and look at them, and maybe we can talk about them during the Midrash. I thought this because I don't have time to get in every name, what they're meaning. Because you know what? When he changes your name, when he gives you a name change, like he says in Revelations, I just wrote it down because I knew I had to, because I was missing it. In Revelation 2:17, let me just read it for you right quick. Hold your place. I'm going to go there. Revelation 2:17. I don't want to pass up nothing. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To he who overcomes, I shall give of the hidden manna to eat, and I shall give him a white stone, and on the stone a renewed name, which no one knows except him who receives it. That's in that new kingdom. But you're not just going to waltz in there. You got to work for him. You got to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And say, look, you're not here to please me, I can promise you. And I'm not here to please none of y'all. I love everyone here. I'm not here to please you. I'm just here to just deliver the message. But we see that Abraham, he named his son Isaac like he was told to. Let me go back to 21. But we see, and I'm going to show you all the comparisons. I'm working my way down that way. That 12 other times in Scripture that Jehovah gave names to people. One was Adam. He called Adam by name. And that's in Genesis 3:8. Abraham. He changed from Avram to Abraham in Genesis 17:5. Sarah. In Genesis, from Sarai to Sarah in Genesis 17:15. Ishmael. He told Hagar, he said, you're going to call your son Ishmael. You're pregnant. In Genesis 16:11. Now Isaac, this was promised in chapter 17, verse 19. So this, you're gonna have a son, you're gonna call his name Isaac. Also Jacob, when he wrestled that night with the angel, and we're gonna get to that later on, he said, what is your name? My name is Jacob. Not tonight. Not this morning. Your name is Israel. Name change. Where did that come from? That all come from Yehovah. Even though he might have been, you know, look, Yehovah sends agents, he sends messengers, but it's his word that's coming through them. Now this is going to be a challenging one. Number 7, this one is found in Isaiah chapter 8, 1 through 3. It's Ma'ar Shal Hasbez. I thought that was interesting. I was like, what? Is that even a name? It is, and it has a meaning. Isaiah 8. 1-3. Like I said, we can cover these. We can go look at them in Midrash. And Hosea 1:4, Jezreel. Call his name Jezreel. And Hosea 1:6, Lo Rumah. And in Hosea 1:9, Lo Ami. You are my son, now you're not my son. Uh-oh. And of course, we got in the Brit Hadashah, we see in Luke 1:13, we have Yohanan. And if last and not least, because he should have been top of the least, but I saved him for last, was Yeshua. Also in Luke 1:31 and in Matthew 1:21, salvation. So we see that in Scripture, that Yehovah gives name to people. And boy, they all have meaning. And we see people that we've learned in throughout Scripture that they have to live up to their name, because the name of their clan or their tribe, wherever they come from, they need to live up to their name. Now, let's look at some of the comparisons. Isaac versus Yeshua. Now, I only wrote down 5 things, but there's a couple more, but these 5 just came to mind. Both of them were miracles. Isaac because of his mother's age, Yeshua because Mary was a virgin. Now we know that's impossible, once again, for a virgin to have a baby. But by set apart spirit, all things are possible with him. There's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible about him. Because he says, is there anything too hard for Yehovah? Number 2, you see Sarah, her only son, that she ever has, you ever know, Yehovah, his only son. Isaac was asked to be sacrificed. Yeshua was sacrificed. We see that Abraham was fixing to slay him. You go in there in chapter 22, he's fixing to get, he's going to kill his son. Yah's not going to allow that. He's not going to allow murder, but he wants to see how far he's going to, if he's going to obey him all the way to the end. No different that he's going to challenge you all the way to the end. To the end until you give up your last breath. That's how far you have to go with him. That's the farthest you can go. Then you see that from there, you have to have that sign upon you. Because when you're sleeping, the scripture says dead know nothing. But that sign is still upon you because you guarded his word. You guarded his Sabbath. Yitzhak was a promised seed to Abraham and Sarah. Yeshua was a promised seed to Mary. So these were five just similarities we can look at in Scripture as you can see the comparison. But back in Matthew, I went a little too fast because I got excited on that reward. That reward, that's something that really got to read. I'm just going to cover a few verses here. In Matthew 16:27. Just keep your pen handy, because then we're going to jump to a couple verses. For the Son of Adam is going to come in the esteem of his Father with his messengers, and then he shall reward each according to his works. See? Your reward is there. Look, you're not forgotten. No matter whatever happened, your time run out, you're not forgotten. He said he'll raise you, and his reward is with him. In verse six, in chapter 6, verse 4, but you, I think we had this last night, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and having shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret shall reward you openly. It's not, look, when he's going to reward you, it's nothing going to be hid. Look, there's nothing to hid from a 90-year-old woman having a baby. Look, and Abraham is proud to have a son. Even though he already had one. But he wasn't the promised son. Verse 18. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who sees you in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret shall reward you openly. Why? Because you're working for him. Remember when we just covered those couple of definitions. Your reward, you were to hire. In Romans chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, O man, you are without excuse. Everyone who judges, for in which you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you who judge practice the same wrongs. And we know that judgment is of Elohim, is according to truth against those who practice such wrong. See, you got to stay in the boundaries, in his word. And do you think, O man, you who judge these practicing such wrong and do the same, that you shall escape the judgment of Elohim? He's watching you. No matter what you do, where you go, you can go to town, you can go wherever you want to go. He's watching you. You represent him. Remember who we are. Oh, you despise the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of Elohim leads you to repentance. What a great question. But according to your hardness and your unrepented heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Elohim, who shall render, who shall or shall reward to each one according to his works. The King James says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So look, there's a payday coming for all. No matter, look, you no matter what side of the fence you're on, whether you're in or out, you're going to get a reward. You best be inside the fence to get a good reward. But on the outside, it won't be so pleasant. Psalm 62. This really... it's really a powerful reading. It says, my being, verse 1, finds rest in Elohim alone. There's no one else. There's nothing else. In Elohim alone. You know, he said, Abram, leave your house, leave your people. Trust me. You got to do this by faith. You got to walk it out. Your life, you got to walk it out by faith. You put your rest and your trust in Elohim alone. For he is my deliverance. Now, David's writing this. You want to take a guess what that deliverance is if you hit the Strong's? What word is going to come up right there in H3444? Deliverance? Yeshua. Your deliverance is in him. For he alone, who? Yeshua, is my rock and my deliverance. Why he's the rock? Because he's the chief cornerstone where the foundation was laid, where you had to pull your measurement from. You don't measure yourself from me. I can tell you that, because your foundation will be crooked. You have a crooked foundation. If you don't believe me, come see. Come and see. Like the scripture says, come and see. Come see my slab I poured. It's solid now, but it ain't. Look, it's got a little waver, and it might do this, but hey. I built it strong. Because he's why? Because he's my rock. He's my foundation. I can't help what it looks like. Like the song says, I can't help what it looks like. But he's my rock and my foundation we pull our measurement from. My strong tower, I am not greatly shaken. Look, David was just a young lad when he stood before Goliath. You know, don't you think, look, you see a man 9 foot. In today's world, if you see a man 9 foot tall, you might have to back up a little bit, especially if he's a little buffed up. You ain't going to take him on. I can tell you that. I'm going to wait till Brother Rob and Brother Chad go first, and hopefully they wore him down. Then me and Papa Stopper can take him. But until then, a 9 foot man in front of you, that's a big guy. How long would you shout? This is what really took the cake. How long would you shout at a man? The King James Version says, how long will you imagine mischief? This is the enemy. This is the people that you encounter. And that you let them know that you're not easily shaken. And look, how long will you shout at a man, murderer, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? How long, King James says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, and all of you as a bowing wall, a tottering fence. Look, when the enemy comes against you, look, and this is going to happen. You're going to have these encounters. I'm not easily shaken. Why? I stand upon his word. Doesn't matter what he says. They plotted to topple him from his high position. They delight in lies. What? You think the enemy ain't going to lie about you? He ain't going to say things about you? That's what he does. He's good at it. They bless with their mouth, but in their heart, they curse. Salah. Think about that. I don't know no one. Hope. We know people. We've been there. We've encountered these encounters. But this is what the word says. They bless with their mouth, but in their heart, they're cursing. You think y'all don't see? Okay. My being, verse 5, my being finds rest in Elohim. Doesn't matter what the enemy says. My being finds rest in him. Alone. There we have that again. Because why? There's nothing else that you can have rest and peace but in him alone. Because my expectation is from him. You're seeing this. He alone is my rock. and my deliverance, my strong tower, I am not shaken. And no matter how the winds may come and the storms may blow, what we sing, we remain steadfast. Where? Upon his word. Because it's concrete. It ain't brick. Why? It's been laid since the foundation. Something that's been laid that long up until now, it's still, and more likely in the future, it's still going to be laid. When you come here next week, that same foundation is still there. And that same chief cornerstone you can pull your measurement from, because he's true. Trust him sometime, you people. Huh? Oh, okay. I'm just checking to make sure y'all with me. Trust him at all times. Huh? Look at the words. Trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Elohim is what is a refuge for us. Salah. Think about that. What I just read. Or maybe go back and read it again. Trust in him at all times. When you don't feel like it, he's working. When you don't see it, he's working. You have to trust that he is. What is that trust? Faith in him. That's what that is. You people, pour out your heart before him. He, Elohim, is a refuge for us. Salah. Sons of Adam are but a breath. Sons of men are a lie. That's pretty simple, who you want to be a son of. If weighed in scales, they are altogether lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression, and do not become vain in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Don't store up treasure here. Say that oppression, do not trust in oppression. That's not a good thing. Go look at the definition of it. Don't become vain in robbery, because that's what it'll lead you to. We heard last night, we heard Rob's testimony last night. I thought this was so fitting. Don't trust in that, because it leads you nowhere. You know what it'll get you? A nice pair of pretty bracelets. And trust me, they don't fit good. They're not comfortable. Believe me, I know. Not once. You think I learned the first time, but I go do it again. You see, if I listen to this next verse, Elohim has spoken once. You think about it, I got it right the first time. But you see, after the second time, I got the memo. I got the picture. Elohim has spoken once. How many times do you have to tell us? But he many times he reminds us, guard my Sabbath. It's a sign between me and you. Me and you, personal, intimate. It's personal. Me and you is personal. That strength belongs to Elohim. So Elohim has spoken once, twice, I have heard this. Trust me, after the second time I'm embracing, I've heard it. That strength belongs to Elohim. And loving commitment is yours, O Yehovah. For you reward each one according to his work. What a promise. This is that David wrote. Oh, you got to grab hold of Psalm 62. Very powerful. And Avram called the name of his son, back to Genesis 21:3, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised Isaac when he was 8 days old, as Elohim commanded him. Circumcised is the word mul. It's H4135. I'm sorry. I didn't write that down. And we know that because he told him that to do this in Bereshit 7, chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. When he was laying down the rule, when he walked through the peace, he told him, you're going to have a son. You're going to circumcise him on the 8th day. And this, well, so what did Abraham do? Next week, he circumcised him. 8 days later. And that all because one thing, because Yah said, and another thing, he knows that it's less time for the blood clotting. I don't know all the details about it, but for a baby, that's 8 days is
Well, it's required by Yah, because Yah knows what the body needs. He created us. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1, if you do return, O Yisrael, declares Jehovah, return to me. And if you remove your abominations from my presence and cease straying, we have to stop running away from him and come back to him, and shall swear, as Jehovah lives, in truth, in right ruling, and in righteousness, then nations shall bless themselves in him, and they shall boast in him. You should not be ashamed to boast in your Father. Swear by him. This is what he says, because there's no higher power. For this is what Jehovah said to the men of Yehuda and Jerusalem. Break up your tillable ground and do not sow among thorns. I wonder why. We're going to come back to that. Let me finish reading verse 4. Circumcise yourselves unto Jehovah and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Yehuda and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath come forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of your evil deeds. Now, that's a mouthful. Break up your tillable ground. Do not sow among thorns. Why? Because there's a reason for that. Now, we're going to, that takes us to the parable of Yeshua. Because he talks about this type of ground of sowing and reaping. We can see that. So y'all don't have to turn the page. I wrote it down so I wouldn't have to be flipping. It says in Matthew 13:7, and others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. That's why you don't sow among thorns. When you're tilling your ground, you got to get rid of junk that's in there. Why? It'll choke your plants. That's coming. Those who knows any little bit about farming. I know we got a couple of green thumbers in here. Well, I've seen their garden. They're beautiful. They know what they're doing. You can actually learn. In Matthew 13:22, and that sown among the thorns is he who hears the word. I'm sure we're hearing today. And the worries of this age and the deceit of riches choke the word, and it becomes fruitless. This is what happens when you lose your salt seasoning. You become saltless. You become that brand on the shelf that's called no salt. Now, if you're here for Midrash, we talked about this. This is what the word of Yeshua said. You become saltless. You're no good for nothing. How can you be salted again? I just read it. If you return, O Israel, declares Jehovah, return to me. But that's some qualification we've got to go through. That's the only way you can get salted again. If you become unsalty and you become fruitless, I can't help you. No word can help you. You have to return to him. He's your only source. In Mark 4:7, and others fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. This is why you don't sow among thorns. Now, look, there's a lot of religion out there. There's a lot of junk out there that, I'm gonna say it, and junk is not the right word. There's a lot of other word out there. But if it ain't matching what he's teaching you, if it ain't matching what Set Apart says, it ain't matching what Yeshua said, I'd be a little cautious. You know, about some things, about some teaching that I listen to. It has to match his word. If not, you'd be led astray. In the last days, he said, there are many false prophets that will rise up. And if you don't know this stuff, you can be led astray. You say, well, not me. It can happen to me. You're the first one it's going to happen to. Circumcise yourself unto Jehovah. You got to let him. Now, the only thing that can help this old stony heart of ours is his word. That it takes the master, the one who leaned over the dust of man and breathed life into him, the one that reached down to the dust and got his hands dirty and went and animated that heart, that man. And the only one who can remove that, the scale and the junk off your heart, that foreskin. That's why circumcision is so big. You read about it in Scripture. It's really out there. And that's why in the Brit Hadashah, he tells you that, then he goes and he says that circumcision, it don't profit you nothing. You go get circumcised, it don't mean nothing. You just got circumcised. That's fine. You want to do that, go right ahead. But you can't preach that stuff and saying circumcision, you have to be circumcised. That's not true. Look, if you preach that, then you're liable to all the Torah. That's what he says. Why? Because, look, you may die, you might not have a chance to be circumcised. You think Yah's going to cast you out because you never had a chance? You didn't know? No, that's not the kind of God he is. But it takes time for him to go in there. And you got to let him do the work in us. If not, man, we're all an unfinished product. I can tell you that. That's still work. He still has to go in there because, look, he's constantly working on us. We're on the wheel. How you say, you go down to the potter's house. And Jeremiah, you go there and you watch the potter work on the wheel. And it takes time to fashion that in there. It takes time when you got to go in there and fool with the heart. The heart is very delicate. It's the inner part of man that, look, I can't be a heart surgeon. First of all, I ain't smart enough. I know where it's at in the body. I can find it. But it takes a real surgeon to go in there and be able to take a heart out and can replace you with an artificial one to preserve life. Man has the power. God has given man the power and the knowledge to do these things. But what man can't do, set apart, Spirit has to come in there, and only he can circumcise the heart to make it to where it's fit for him, to make it obey. Because why? The Scripture says the heart is deceitful and wicked. It'll lie to you, make you think you want something when you really don't want it. It'll deceive you. We have to be careful. Oh, well, he knows my heart. Yeah, he does. You're right. That is a true statement, but it's deceitful. So you need that set apart Spirit to come in and woo us, to come in and take time to cut that skin off your heart that doesn't profit anything. We need that wooing of him. To take away the foreskin of your hearts, you men of Yehuda and inhabitants of Jerusalem, that's us today. This is modern time. We're talking and speaking to us. Lest my wrath. What? Lest his wrath? We don't want to face that. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living hell, the Scripture says. Come forth like fire and burn with none to quench it. Nobody can stop it because of your evil deeds, because of the deeds in your heart that you seem, well, I don't need to guard the Sabbath. Or like I've heard, some of the best ones, that any day can be the Sabbath. Wow. Oh, like you say, Sunday's my Sabbath. Okay. That's what your heart tells you. That don't make it the truth. So we definitely have to be careful. Well, it seems like I'm missing something somewhere. And Abraham circumcised, back to Genesis 24:4. And Abraham circumcised Isaac when he was 8 days old, as Elohim had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Can you imagine, 100 years old? And Sarah laughed. And Sarah said, I'm sorry. The word just moved in my eyes. And Sarah laughed. And here I go again. And Sarah said, I'm sorry. Elohim has made me laugh, and everyone who hears of it laughs with me. Wow. Okay. Now, in that section right here, you're going to see there's two different laughs. There's H6712, which is Sakat. And it means, it's a joyous laugh. It's not something that is going. It's not this one. It's not H6711 to laugh, mock, or play sport. It's not that kind of laugh. But it's just two different words here and laugh, and then, because the best I can explain it is the one that's laughing, that you're laughing at, is now laughing back at you. See, that's, so it's a little wordplay right there. So you gotta go and see, you gotta sit down and look at the two definitions on what it means. And said, because this is what she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Now the people's laughing at Sarah now. Before she was laughing at Yehovah. Really? She was mocking. He said, anything too hard? No, you did laugh, Sarah. I heard you. Even though you're behind the tent door, you're trying to think you were hiding. I know where you're at. See, now you see the difference. That who would, they laughing with her, not, who, can you believe? Sarah had a baby at 90 years old? That's so funny. That's what that is. For I have borne him a son in his old age. So this word, like I said, is so very powerful. This was so challenging. There's something right here in Hosea I want to look at. In Hosea chapter 10, this very chapter is very good, but verse 12 is what really, it had to do with the, about don't sow among the thorns. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap according to loving commitment. Break up your tillable ground. You see where the word comes from. It's in Hosea. He's telling you, look, you have to take a tiller. I watched my father-in-law get that tiller. And that tiller is designed to do one thing. When you crank it up, you best be holding on. I can promise you. Because when you give it to her, it will pull. It's designed to go straight. Not go back. Because what happens when you look back? We learned from last week, a couple weeks ago, what happens when you look back? You're not fit. Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. So there's no looking back when you grab the tiller. I want to have my rotor straight. That thing, ask for a law, it'll pull you. That tiller will drag you. And look, you either got to let it be smart enough to let it go. If you hold on to it, it will drag you. I can promise you, this is what he's saying. Break up that tillable ground. Because why? In our heart, once again, in our heart, it's very stony, very tough. Because we got our own ways. I want to do it my way. That's what flesh is. Doing it your way. Not his way, your way. And that's why we have to break it up. We have to go in there with a tiller. Because I heard my father say the other day, man, I got to get that ground till. Time is coming. It's time. It's almost time for sowing. Our year is almost up. We've run about a Shemitah cycle. Look, our year is almost up. It's almost time to start planting. So what we got to do? You got to go. It's either old style with the hoe, or you got to go with that tiller and be holding on. Because it's going to do its job. It is time. Break up your tillable ground. It is time to seek Yehovah. It's time. Look, this could be the year when he returns. How amazing is that? You've been waiting all this time. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise. Some of y'all have been waiting longer than that since you first got saved. Look, you may be that much longer, but it could be this year. What a glorious time that could be. Boy, you'd be living in the time and age because we see all the signs, what's happening. Yeshua said, if you following Yeshua, you see what's happening overseas. I'm not the crazy one here. Turn your TV on. You see who's doing the fighting. You see, then it's brothers against brothers. They're all pretty much related because Ishmael, you can have it your way. And that's that to see. But Yah got his people here. And he said, when they're in Israel to stay. They won't be rooted out again. Y'all brought it. Some of them may lose their lives, but I can tell you what, they won't. You won't see Nebuchadnezzar come in and disperse them out of their land because they're here to stay. What does the scripture say? Now it is time to seek Yehovah till he come and rains righteousness on you. How we know we need that rain? Boy, we need that. Boy, this is good. I'm going to stop right there. I just got my 5 minutes. There's still a couple more things to read, but I'm going to stop it right there. And you know, look, we got to hold on to his word. In this time and age in which we live, all we have is his word because he is trustworthy. He promised. He said it, and he's going to do it. We have to just take him. Look, no matter how it looks, I'm telling you, you might not look, your children are outside. They might be doing their thing. Trust me, it hurts me when I see my kids doing stuff out there that I wouldn't do. Even though I did stuff that they probably wouldn't think, they wouldn't do that, what their daddy done. Look, but look, you have to pray for our children. You got to still stand in the gap. You got to still stand there for your loved ones, for your brothers, for your sisters, for your cousins. We have members out there. Well, you know, there's no time to give up, because the scripture just told, it's time to seek Yehovah. Break up that tillable ground, because it starts with us. We're the ones in the house. That's what we say every time we come here. So if we're the ones in the house, we're working for him. And he is our rewarder. Amen? Well, that's all I have for now. Look, I think today is potluck day.